We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Can I tell you how much I enjoy Kevin Harlan saying, come on, Marshall, to try to get you to run onto a football field? It's still one of my favorite things.
Kevin Harlan would be quite the hype man, if you think about it. Quite the wingman. Come on, Marshall. And then we ride. We ride off into the sunset.
It's fantastic. So, that said, this is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And as busy as the day has been, we haven't really gotten to dig deeper into Bears and Packers today. We gave you a lot of the latest from Hallis Hall earlier yesterday. We do have Chris Emma with a live report at 1:25 today. We're going to talk a lot with Danny Parkins coming up at 1. But in the meantime, it is frankly a problem that I would probably procrastinate on and avoid if it wasn't staring me in the face. And that is the conundrum, even with Kyler Gordon's practice window now being open, trying to figure out who are the best choices on this Bears secondary to face the Packers when the Packers, as we've seen the past two meetings, have been able to pick apart the Bears zone fairly well. And we saw what the Lions did in man. We also saw what happened against San Francisco. And this, I think, is going to be the X factor in the game for the Bears. Unfortunately, the weakness and the injuries are going to make this the most glaring part of the game that I'm going to focus in on.
You're familiar with the old school standardized test, the Scantron. Be A, B, C, D, all the above.
Mm-hmm.
On this one, I'm like, why didn't you include the E, none of the above? Because that's what it's looking like right now with the Bears secondary, to be honest with you.
You mean like who your best choices are?
Yeah. I'm looking for the E, but the E is not an option.
And I think it tells a lot when we're talking about the availability, and credit to him for being such a crucial part of the team. But it says a lot when we're talking about the availability of CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, who's likely going to be out because he's in concussion protocol. I'm just, me personally, this is not a report. We'll learn more today, but I have, you know, I'm not expecting him to be there if I'm watching and trying to plan for this game. And he's been a big part of this. He's two different players almost in man versus zone. And unfortunately, we've seen that play out as well. There's one guy we have who is an expert when it comes to secondary play, and that is Matt Bowen, who was on with the afternoon show yesterday. And he broke down why these two choices, neither one of them may be ideal.
A lot of those throws, two speeds, were rhythm throws, right? In-breakers, crossers, over routes. That's where Goff is at his best, especially when he has a clean platform to throw the football from. Bears are not generating enough pressure. And when you play man coverage and you don't hit the quarterback, you better be really good in the secondary. And the Bears were not. Played heavy outside leverage versus a lot of in-breaking routes. And I'll tell you right now, against Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Raymond, if you allow immediate separation at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to get back in phase. That means back to the hip of the defense, you know, of the wide receiver, we can make a play on the football. Then it turns into a foot race. And what the wide receiver does is simply run away from coverage. So why do they play so much man speaks? Because against zone coverage, he was 10 of 12 for 103 yards. So, but I'll tell you, you know, this is why I say that speaks, because yeah, zone coverage against a team like Detroit, heavy play action, similar to playing against Ben Johnson, there are windows to attack at the second level and the third level if you can create the coverage voids. They're excellent at that. So if you're a defensive coordinator saying, we're not going to give them those open window throws to the middle field, we're going to challenge them. But again, going back to my original point, to do that, you have to hit the quarterback. You have to make a player like Jared Goff move off his throwing platform, and you have to play much tighter coverage.
This begs the question, Layla.
So they were good in zone and also good in man.
Do you?
Well, crap.
Do you, when you look at the track record of the Bears' defensive line, the front four, bring out the meter, the confidence meter, 0 to 10. What is your level of confidence that the front four can affect the quarterback Saturday night?
Rushing four down linemen?
Yes.
3.
I'm surprised it's that high, to be honest. Jordan Love was picking them apart in Green Bay.
And that was against blitz look mostly. Or they'd show blitz.
And it didn't matter because he sees the mismatches at the line of scrimmage. Christian Watson, and you go on down the line from the word that will trigger our friend Mark Grody, Bo Melton. If you say that name, I'm going to say that like five times on Friday.
Because inevitably, it's always some dude on the Packers who just has the best day ever.
And so I think Dennis Allen has his work cut out for him to minimize, and that's why it's okay to be a bend, don't break defense. If you could hold him to field goals instead of... And I'm not saying they're going to hold him to 0-for-5 in the red zone or the deep red zone. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if they can get something closer to what we saw last week in the loss of the Lions as opposed to what we saw the week before against the Niners, because you're probably not going to get what you got down here at Soldier Field the last time you saw the Packers. But if you get somewhere in between, and now Caleb Williams, it's always been on him. It's still going to be on him. Make your throws. Hit your guys. Don't go three and out. Then you've got a chance to win the game. And honestly, if Caleb Williams just does like the best of Caleb Williams, not for the second half, but four quarters, they should roll over the Packers because they'll get a lead and run the football. They can't stop the run. The Packers can't stop the runs.
Well, and if the Bears want to run the ball more than we've seen them run, that would be great. But in the meantime, we still have to figure out what is the realistic capability of the secondary. We're starting to get reports in now from Hallis Hall, by the way.
What we got?
And Ben Johnson was asked about Kyler Gordon, and he said he is going to be part of the game plan. That was per Courtney Cronin. Can you even rely on him?
You have to, because it is pull out all the stops, all hands on deck. It's a playoff game. You know what I don't want to happen? We've seen it happen two times in a row, and Kyler Gordon was one of the people that it happened to have already turned in your inactives and now be a man down on your game day roster because something happened in pregame warmups, like what happened with him and then Roma Dunze the following week.
Yeah, that's terrifying. But when it comes to how they try to plan this out and knowing what we've seen out of, for example, Jalen Johnson, who has not been the guy we know him to be physically. He doesn't look as fast. He's not closing in as much. We're not the only ones. Matt Bowen was asked by Lawrence Holmes about what he's seen out of Jalen Johnson since he's come back from his injury.
I think you have to challenge him, Lawrence. I think you have to be more physical, to your point. I think that's where he's at his best. If you were to ask someone what is Jalen Johnson, I would say he's a physical coverage corner. That means he can excel in press. That means he's physical at the top of the break. That gives him an advantage because that's a physical play style he brings to the football field on Sunday. So I would be more physical in press coverage with Jalen this week. But you know what we're getting to right here. And I think this has been an issue for weeks and weeks with the Chicago defense. Who was playing in the slot on Saturday night? It was, and CJ has really struggled in man coverage. He really has. You know, that has been... part of this defense has been exposed with Kyler Gordon out is the slot targets, and especially the man coverage slot targets and getting beat on crossers and over routes that turn into explosive plays. And that's one thing you have to take away against Green Bay. Because I'll tell you what, if I'm Matt LaFleur, the first third down, when I get the Bears in man coverage, I'm throwing a deep over or a deep crosser to Christian Watson or Matthew Golden out of the slot. I'm going to say, show me you can cover this. Because if you can't, I'm going to do it all night.
He's not wrong.
How can you fault his approach based on what you know about the Bears' defense?
He's not wrong. If you saw the way the Bears were running and frankly huffing and puffing across the field against the Lions, doing those routes, especially across, I don't know why you can't expect to see that in mass on Saturday night.
That's why it's imperative they get some stops early, but more importantly, they get some points early.
Do you think it is to the point where the Bears' best defense is their offense?
Yes. It's been that way for a while now.
Not when they were generating more turnovers, and they even had one in the most recent game. They just couldn't capitalize on it.
But that's the point, Layla. Against the good teams, they don't generate the same number of turnovers because the quarterback play is so much better. Remember, in the games that they lost this season, or even against the teams with the winning records that they played this season, they had a total of, what, 6 turnovers? Total. And then all the other turnovers came against bad teams. Like, I'm talking about 4 turnovers in game, 3 turnovers in game. Whether it's Dak or whatever dysfunctional team they ran through on the way to their last play schedule. And they took advantage. They did. They took advantage of Joe Burrow not being there for the Bengals. They took advantage of knocking Jackson Dart out of the game.
Joe Flacco nearly beat you.
Yes, but Joe Flacco also turned the ball over. And so what I'm saying is, not that Jordan Love can't be had, because he can be had.
But not as well if you can't create pass rush up front.
Do you remember Ben Johnson's answer about Tyrique Stevenson not getting any defensive snaps the last time out? And how he said, we felt with Jalen Johnson and Nashawn Wright, we were good. Shawnee, as he called him. And here's the truth. None of them are at a high level right now in coverage. But at least with Nashawn Wright over Tyrique Stevenson, he gives you a chance to actually take the ball away.
Also, I want to clarify, it was Dennis Allen, because the coordinators are speaking today at Hallis. Oh, okay. Everything's moved up a day. And the quote from Dennis Allen on Kyler Gordon is, our plan is to have him be a part of it, the game plan against Green Bay.
You better have a really good plan B, and maybe even a plan C.
I use the term closeouts all the time because it makes the most sense, even though it's a basketball term. Who's closing out for you that you trust in the secondary?
Kevin Byard, the last line of defense.
Jaquan Brisker. Jaquan Brisker is really good at running across the field and giving help when he has to. But usually if it's gotten to him at a few points in the game based on the formation, the play has already been taken for many yards.
It's already too late.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. But that's the problem here, is that I feel like if these are your options, if people are able to cook in both man and in zone pretty easily, you're going to have to pick which one you trust more.
Here's the option.
And it might be based on how fast you think your personnel is.
I haven't answered that question, not fast enough. But that's why the number one option on defense is to put up 30-plus on offense. That's the number one option.
414 says, my grandpa could have sat back there and threw those passes with all the time Love had, and my grandpa is dead.
Wow. That's dark. But accurate, probably. In a hyperbolic way.
That's what makes this so frustrating, is you thought based on the money you spent that you could probably rush four and create the pressure you need.
Dio's not healthy. Shamar's out. The rookie that you got, Turner. They have, I mean, everybody's hurt this time of year. It's like, how can you overcome your injuries?
Except for maybe Grady Jarrett, who was hurt at the beginning of the season, but you can see is affecting the pocket more and more, it seems like, each game.
I'm going to need about four pressure/deflected balls out of Austin Booker this weekend. How about that?
I mean, that was it. That was a big part of the stops that the Bears had for the Lions, too. They were able to bat down passes at the line of scrimmage. Jervon Dexter should help with that at 6'6".
Also, if Matt LaFleur wants to draw up an ill-advised trick play, go ahead, big guy.
He doesn't draw many of them. It would seem like a pretty traditional offensive game plan, if you ask me.
Matt LaFleur, coaching for his job.
Oh, I don't think it's that severe.
I do! Okay.
Or, theoretically, every coach is coaching for his job every Sunday.
Ben Johnson's not.
No. But I do believe in the Bum Phillips race. Two types of coaches. Coaches who were fired and coaches who are going to be. It's just a matter of how long the hourglass goes. Coming up next here on 670 The Score, Raheemy Harrison Grody. Mark Grody got to talk to Cole Kmet as part of the Take the North podcast last night. Cole was kind enough to come on as a guest. And there's a word that has been permeating throughout the Bears locker room this week. Cole will tell us why next.